Frosty Margarita.
Grab a glass, grab a seat. It's Two Margaritas with Matt.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, over and over again.
Like somebody was using a calculator?
Basically, yeah. It's like, are you doing your taxes? What are we doing?
Yeah, what's going on? It is tax season right now.
It is tax season.
Dustin Helton, the Rev.
How's it going? You're
joining me for a nice cold drink.
Yes.
I am again enjoying a nice Cayman Jack margarita. Not sponsored by them. Yep. I don't think I ever will be, but it's delicious. What do you have there on the screen?
We're doing a little Taco Tuesday margarita style beer from a 11 Below Brewing in Houston, Texas. So
that's like a combo. That's like a margarita taste, but it's a beer.
Yeah. If you've ever had like a Gosa kind of beer where it's like kind of sour, but not, it's kind of what it is.
Okay.
It's pretty good. So it's basically a beer that's flavored like margarita.
Oh man, that is right up my alley. Big frosty one.
Yeah.
You know, Rev, before I get to know you a little bit better, as is tradition, two episodes into something that never existed before, I have a box here of 200 questions. And I'd like to know, would you like one from the middle and beginning, or I should say the front, the end, or the middle of this fancy little box?
Let's go with the front.
Go with the front. All right. The Rev, Dustin Helton. What was the best vacation you ever took? Ooh, that's a good one.
Ooh, that's a good one.
The best vacation you ever took. That's tough, man.
That's tough. I got to think of it two different ways, because the best vacation I did with my daughter and my wife was going to Disney World this past summer. I mean, and that was fun for all the reasons you think it's fun. It's fun to have for an 8-year-old girl to run around and be a princess and do all that stuff. If I think vacation that was like an adult vacation, a group of my friends and I went to Ireland back in 2016. We used a wedding as an excuse to go, but we didn't actually go to the wedding.
who was getting married?
A friend of a friend.
Okay, friend of a friend.
We didn't even know him. We just knew two people who were in the bridal party and was like, let's go. And so we booked. And then I think 2 weeks before we were going to go, we got drunk at a brunch and convinced two of our friends to book also. And so we left the day after Christmas and went over New Year's and basically went to Dublin, rented a car, drove around the country, did New Year's in Galway, drove back. It was full of adventure and, you know, people driving on the wrong side of the roads and driving through roundabouts instead of going around them. And, you know, just mischief and Guinness and whiskey and all the good times you could have.
What age did this occur? How old? You have to be in your early 20s or mid 20s for this to happen.
No, I was 35.
35. Holy moly. Rev, I don't even know how old you are now. Are you in your 40s?
I'm 41, which is a past your prime number. Yep.
You're 41.
41. Past your prime number.
I would have put you mid 30s. No, I would have dropped you right there.
Yeah. I think after, if we include Dallas, I think I'm the fourth oldest out of this group. Because it's Dallas, Jamie, I think Chad and me, or Dallas, Chad, Jamie. Somewhere Jamie's a year older than I am. I know that for a fact.
Jamie's like the godfather. Yeah. He's the godfather of this whole group.
Yeah, it's funny because prepping for the work trip this weekend, Saturday, I just stepped and mildly sprained my ankle. I texted my coworker. I was like, dude, I sprained my ankle 3 days before I had to go to a work trip where we're standing up for 4 days, you know, selling stuff. And he was like, what'd you do? I was like, I'm old.
Oh my goodness. Well, you go on the move, man. Dude, okay, so you're in sales,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know I always just think of it as like you're selling for the oil companies is what mm-hmm. I think of. But like, what's the company you work for? You're traveling all the time. I have you on Snapchat. You're always going around the country. Like, what's this work entail?
I work for a very used to be Royal Dutch oil company. If that, they moved out. Basically, I sell motor oil. I sell Pennzoil, Quaker State, and Rotella. I sell it to our retail business. And so I'm a business development manager. So anything from Walmarts down to convenience stores, my focus is really like selling it with like Amazon and distributors and convenience stores in Napa and Sam's Club are my big things. So it's fun. It's a fun job. I like what I do. You know, the going around, traveling is fun. Traveling can be a burden too, but you know, I enjoy the customer interactions, and I've gotten to do some really fun things working for this company. You know, I went to Australia because of them. You know, I've been to the Philippines because of them. So I've gotten to experience a lot with this company. So
yeah, for sure.
Really enjoy it.
A lot of people who are in sales or in that realm, it's almost like, do you travel or do you not travel? Cause like a lot of people won't do sales because of it's way too much. It's a lot of driving, you know, Kyler Neal, he drives a ton all around Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for like yourself, it's more flight to places in comparison to driving.
Yeah. It's flying. So like, for example, I have New Orleans this week, and then in 2 weeks I have Seattle, and then potentially Vegas, and then the week after is Cleveland, and then in April I have like Chicago, and we have a meeting in Arkansas, and I think somewhere I have to go to Dallas to go see a customer. So there's a lot of travel. You know, it's like a day or two trip. This one's a longer one, but you know, before the pandemic happened, I was used to traveling a lot, and then you know the world stopped, and I got so used to being home that whenever in 20. I guess my first trip after the pandemic was 2021. I went to LA for 4 days, and that first trip back was just, you know, after being home for 18 months, I got used to being home and being around my daughter.
Right. For sure.
And then going back out again, it was quite the adjustment. And, you know, the way I look at it, it does stink to be away from home a lot, but then I'm also getting the miles and hotel points where I can use them for my family on, you know, on trips. And so that makes it worthwhile. And, you know, I've always had a love for geography, getting to go around to different parts of the country and go experience different things. I mean, granted, there's some really great trips. There's some really bad trips. Like no offense to Missouri State fans, Springfield, Missouri is not a fun town to go visit, nor is it a fun town to go fly in. Like, I'm sorry, guys. You know, Memphis, Tennessee is a dump. I'm just being honest here, you know.
You're nothing if not honest, right?
There's some really great places to go to, and then there's Memphis.
So you are down in Galveston, right?
Yes.
Down there in Texas.
Yep.
How far are you from the beach? Like if
you're
like where you live, you're five blocks. You can walk there.
Yeah.
So are you not born and raised in Texas though? Are you?
I moved around as a military brat.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. And what branch was your was that your dad or your mom?
My dad.
Okay. So you moved all over the place.
Yep.
What brought you and your wife to Texas? Is she from the area or was
she's
it the
from
job?
Houston. She's from Houston.
Okay.
And so we met out at SFA and,
Oh, SFA love story.
Yeah, we met out there. And then, you know, the day that I graduated, and then she was a semester behind me. And so then she graduated and basically got offered a job in Houston right off the bat. And her, you know, she's from Houston. My mom at the time was living in Galveston. And we're just like, the hell with it. Let's move down to the coast. And that's basically how it's been. So we've been down here full time now for 14 years, 15 years, something like that. So, you know, math is not so the big group do math. I think we were down full time in 2009. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah. Yep.
So like my dream spot is Key West. Been there twice with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Just love it. Love the vibe. But you go to Key West and you go on realtor.com and you're like, sweet, one bedroom, one bath. The whole place is destroyed. $900,000.
Oh, yeah.
What's the market down there like in Galveston, being so close to the beach?
I mean, it was insane the past year and a half. And it's honestly priced people out of living here because I jokingly called it Gal of Austin because it became like Austin real estate.
Yeah.
You know, it depends. Here's the thing. The water here is ugly. Everybody's going to make fun of Texas beach. Ask Kyler. He's like, the water there is ugly. And it is. But the water was pretty. I couldn't afford to live here.
Oh,
you know? If the water was pretty, my house would be like a couple million dollars. Like, you know, so it just depends on where you buy and what you buy. You know, the houses on the east end of the island are older. My house is from 1885.
1885.
Yeah. And so you get a lot of like, you have to put money in, you know, it sort of depends. The further west you go on the island, the newer the houses are. So it just kind of depends on where you want to go and where you want to be. Like, I like where I live because I can walk to the beach or I can walk to the bars. And it's a, you know, it's a good location to be at. So it works out for everything.
It I mean, if you can go a bar to the beach, I mean, that's not bad at all.
No, I mean, the island's 2 miles across.
Right.
Yeah.
Whoa, 2 miles?
It's 2 miles across and then 32 miles lengthwise.
So Galveston is on an island.
Yes.
It's not connected to the...
Nope.
So you like have to drive across a bridge or what?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Obviously. Okay.
Yeah.
Rev's out there on a boat just every day.
There's three ways onto the island. Two are via bridge, and then one's a ferry that goes over to the Bolivar Peninsula. And so whenever there's a hurricane evacuation, that does kind of suck because there's only three ways off the island, and two of them are road and one of them is a ferry. So when you come from Houston, you come across the Big Galveston Causeway, which is like a 2.5 mile long bridge. If you come in from Brazoria, you come across San Luis Pass, which is not as big of a bridge. And then, like I said, there's a ferry the other way. So yeah, it's a 64 square mile island. Before Hurricane Ike, there used to be a shirt that said that there was 108 bars and 64 square miles of island. And to be fair, most of those bars were within a 12 square mile stretch of the island.
Jeez. So, okay. So when you think about people in perspective a little bit, this has got to play a little bit into how joyous you are as a person and a human. I mean, most people are like, I'd love to retire on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to live where it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
And people always joke, what if you could afford an island? Rev, you are like living on an island where mm-hmm. it's warm. You got a beautiful wife. You got a beautiful daughter. I mean, not too much to complain about, right? You're a South Dakota state celebrity. You're a YouTuber. I mean, this is going pretty well, right? Not too shabby.
I would say the weirdest part about that is the being a South Dakota state celebrity out of anything. I will tell you, like, I don't know if you felt the same thing anytime you've been in Frisco, but you know, people came up to me at like when we were at the local and they're like, you're the Rev. I'm like, yeah, like I really like your show. I listened to it because you know the B team recommended it. And my initial response in my head, I mean, obviously I said thank you and appreciate it, but in my head, I'm like, why are you listening to this?
The motto of the network is, why do you listen to us?
Yeah, like, why aren't you listening to quality broadcasting instead? Like, why are you listening to this? Like, go talk to Matt Frazee. That's who you want to talk to. I'm just this guy who comes on and talks trash about everybody. So, but no, I mean, yeah, no, life's good. Living on the beach is a lot of fun. Living down here is a lot of fun. It's a fun town to live.
For sure.
Festivals all the time and things like that. And, you know, I guess it has my personality. My thing is life is too short to you got to worry, but life's too short to let, you know, bad stuff hang over your head for too long.
For sure.
So you got one shot at it, unless you believe in reincarnation. So you might as well do what you can and enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I had a mini midlife crisis when we lost our dog Charlie this last year in June. I think that was like the first time perspective hit me a little bit. And I'm 33.
Yeah.
So I like to joke I'm one third of the way done, but at best, right? But that was, I remember like the vet bills for Charlie, like his last 2 years, had said Allison, and you'd almost like look at the budget and finances and think like, you know, it's going to suck to lose him, but it's going to open up this much money. And you're kind of going down like, okay, I got to take him in for this again. And then like you lose a dog like that or something. And I remember tears in my eyes just being like, I would pay $10,000 to have one more day with that dog. Mm-hmm. Like it takes the actual moment for you to be like, damn, man, like who cares? You know what I mean? Like you just find a way to get money happens. You work hard, you do this thing, but it moves quick, dude. It moves quick. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, being on the other side of 40 right now, like, you know, like I'm looking towards 10 years from now, my daughter will graduate high school.
And what grade is she in now?
She's in third.
Third grade.
Yeah. So, you know, she'll turn 9 over the summer. And so, you know, I guess it's technically 9 years, but whatever. Like the point is that like it you look at it, things differently. And I'm looking at this like, wow, I'm, you know, realistically, I've actually got to start getting my crap together and actually thinking about how long I'm going to work in my life. And if I'm going to be in a good spot to stop or do what I want to do, like open do my dream job. And so, you know, so it is kind of weird how things get put into perspective all of a sudden, you know?
Right. Absolutely. What do you see? Okay, so someone like yourself, people would say you live in retirement. So let's say you get to where you want to be. Well, I mean, what on earth does that look like for you? Everyone up here wants to snowbird, right?
Yeah.
And my brother's down in Houston. He talks about summer birding, like coming mm-hmm. up to the mini Minnesota lakes where the summer is beautiful.
Yeah.
And to get out of the heat.
Where it's like, not 98 degrees and 90% humidity and you walk outside your house and get slapped by the humidity every morning.
Oh my goodness. And of course, anyone listening to this right now, they're on episode 2 here and they're already thinking, okay, this is ran by a North Dakotan, so he's going to talk about weather every single time he does this. He's going to talk about weather. But seriously, what's like retirement look like for a guy like yourself?
I don't know if I'd ever retire because I would get bored. And that's the problem. Like my dream is to open a distillery. That's what I want to do.
Ah, you've mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Or I figure if I ever stopped working and I wanted something, I'd go tend bar or something just to have an excuse to hang out. And to, like, I don't know. The way my mind works, I don't think I could be retired. Like, I think, yeah. So I don't know, to be honest with you. If I were to leave here, I would honestly go buy a house on the main coast or in Oregon, somewhere like that. I don't know, move to Europe. Like, I don't know, to be honest with you.
It's such an interesting perspective you have. It's so cool to talk to people like you because trust me when I say this, like a lot of people where I live, including myself a little bit, you know, they want to live their North Dakota, Minnesota life. They want to snowbird when they retire. But like the idea of you, like you just mentioned going to Europe or hopping to Oregon is a real foreign mentality to the upper Midwest. Like they don't just jump out there and go. And if they do, they tend to come back like myself. You know, I was in California for 4 years. So, I mean, you seem like you're willing to flap your wings and go anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, you got to experience things. And I told Adrian, my daughter, this, like, sometimes you have to travel a long way to go see really cool stuff, you know, like, you know, we're talking about, you know, trips and things we want to do. And, you know, I want to go to Tahiti. That's a long ass flight, but you know, it's worth it to go. It's funny. I got a friend of mine who is he's a Northern Iowa guy. He has never flown on an airplane in his life. And he's in his 30s and he's driven across the country, but he's never been on a plane.
Not a fear thing, just like
he's never done it. And you know, and this isn't at all like a dig at him, but I can't imagine not having that experience.
Right.
You know, like I don't know. Like I tried to get him to come to Frisco and make that be his first plane trip and it hasn't happened, you know, because he won't come unless you and I makes it. But
right,
you know, we know that's not gonna happen as long as Farley's their coach. So
Well, we have to talk some FCS, right? It has to happen.
Yeah, it's like, so, it's like a work dinner. You got to talk work to have the company pay for it. So that's
100%. So I do comp you a little bit to Kyler. Not as much in Kyler can brush everything off. Like nobody can match him in that realm. You'll never work Kyler up. You never will. He'll brush it all off. But you, like Kyler, are not afraid to be like, this is what I think. I'm afraid I will aggressively defend it and I'll smack talk you while I do it. I'm not afraid to do that.
Yeah.
So when you're obviously a Stephen F. Austin fan, you've become famous through South Dakota State. There's a cardboard copy of you up at the university for hobo days. You are famous on TikTok and platforms for bunny hopping through the stadium after SDSU won last year to include many ESPN clips of you being shown. I mean, we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So we have a famous Bunny fan, Stephen F. Austin fan, but what do you think, man? I mean, what do you think about the FCS for next season outside of SDSU steamrolling everybody? Tell me a little bit about that and then we'll get back to talking about real life.
Yeah. Well, a couple things. One, you know, you talked about not afraid of my opinion. Here's the thing. People take stuff way too seriously. You know, like
especially online.
Like I jokingly said about the SIU coordinator going to North Dakota State. I said that SIU's defense was soft and got, you know, absolutely blitzed by someone. And I was like, listen, man, I was like, I get that for you guys. That was an epic defense. But for anybody else who's ever had a defense, your defense was substandard. Right. Like, but people take it too seriously, I think. And you want to defend your team. You want to defend your team's support. But sometimes you got to step back and laugh. Like I get shredded by Sam Houston people all the time. And to me, it's funny. Like the better shade comment I get from someone, the more I enjoy it. Like
you steer into the, like, if they get you good, you steer into it where most people feel deflated.
Yeah. Like, look, humor is the best part of life. And if you can't make fun of yourself, then you shouldn't be making fun of anybody else. That's really it. Now, when it comes to the FCS this year, I'm telling you now, it's Stephen F. Austin. No, I'm just kidding. It's not Stephen F. Austin because while CNF Austin has some better tools, there's still a lot to be worked. I mean, it's really hard to go against. I mean, obviously South Dakota State's the one who set up to repeat. I'm interested to see what Eck does in Idaho this year. Mm-hmm. I think they are someone that you'll see in the semifinals, maybe in Frisco, because I mean, look, they have McCoy as their quarterback. They've got weapons and they've got a great coach behind them. And then they've got, you know, Chris Hammond fundraising for him. So, but
oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that's always an intangible that no one else has. So
no, that's an outlier right there.
Exactly. You know, I've seen some people talk about, is Furman going to do this? I don't think I have no faith in any SoCon team to do anything whatsoever.
Ooh, we disagree on that one. That's okay.
I think SoCon teams are like Southland teams. They're going to make it. And this is not including Cardinal Word, but historically Southland teams where they're going to make it to the quarters and then just crap the bed. That's what I see. Or semis maybe too, and just crap the bed. That's what I see from the SoCon teams. I'm interested to see what Incarnate Word can do with, again, it's like last year. They lost a lot of great talent, but they also reloaded really well on signing day. So I'm interested to see what they can do with the new coach and everything else. Like, I'm not going to trash talk UIW because I ate it all last year.
Yeah, so a lot of people did. A lot of people did.
I so had to eat. I don't know how many drinks I bought the Triumvirate folks that night at the bar, but I owe them for the amount of trash talk I gave them. So.
Rev, you know how to say their name. Yeah. I said last podcast, I'm calling them the FCS poll guys because that's their Twitter tag, at FCS poll. Hey, yeah. By the way, you guys, make sure you follow at FCS poll. Great follow. All three of the guys are amazing.
Yep.
But that is those gentlemen were a lot of fun, and yeah, Incarnate Word, whew, man, ooh. We were on the 50-yard line front row for that game because of the blizzard. There was such a blizzard in North Dakota. Me and my buddy sat front row 50-yard line. It's my favorite memory of last season, and man, we jaw-jacked back and forth with those players the whole game. They were burning us as much as we were trying to burn them, but they all came up to us afterwards, and this kind of speaks to the program. They all gave us high fives, virtually every guy that got really in deep with trash talk. Some things I'm not going to re-mention here on a live broadcast. They came up and they shook our hands afterwards. We congratulated them on a great season, and I hope to see good things from them to continue. But at the same time, you never know. Like, people might also go too far in the opposite direction of last year. They had no faith because of the transfer and coach turnover, and they were shown wrong, right? And this year, everyone might be like, I'm not willing to say no because of what happened, but it could be different. Sure doesn't look that way based off of stars and ratings and everything else, but who knows?
To me, and I've said the stars and ratings don't matter to me. It's what you can produce on the field. And if they, you know, with their new coach, he's a young guy, they've got to be able to take that and, you know, take that from the paper and get it on the field and get results. And so, you know, a lot of people hang on rankings and draft classes and stuff. And to me, they're as useful as polls in September. It doesn't. they don't matter. So,
but they're, you know, fun.
They're fun.
They That's always
fun.
My argument. My
but they are, like, no, I'm not saying they're not fun, but so many people just like hang on to this. Like, oh man, look, my team's ranked number one in week two. You've played one game and you didn't lose, South Dakota State. Like, of course you're gonna be ranked number one in week two. You should be. Or my team is in the top 10 in week three. That's great. You've played two games. One of them might've been a loss that didn't count against you. Like, there's not ever enough. I mean, early season bowls, you don't have the body work behind it. Same with the signing classes. It's all theory. And,
right.
And until it's, I mean, it's fun, but until it's on paper or until it goes from paper to the field, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. FBS level with NIL, Texas A&M, right?
Those classes
were insane. And the money was insane, but it ultimately didn't pay out. You know, there's a lot of things on paper, Rev, that, you know, they look really good. They sound really good. Kind of like maybe yours and my professional football team that we both cheer for, which would be the Dallas Cowboys. I do know that about you.
Yes.
It's Super Bowl's coming up. First things first, before we talk about the Cowboys for a few minutes, and yeah, folks, skip ahead 4 minutes here if you want to. What do you think, Super Bowl Sunday? This will drop Tuesday, tomorrow. You got a prediction, Chiefs or Eagles? We can't cheer for the Eagles, but who do you think is going to win?
I just hope both teams have fun. Like, honestly,
Rob,
this is the Super Bowl of my discontent. But whenever I was a kid, I liked the Chiefs. obviously after the Cowboys. Like I liked the Chiefs. My mother at the time worked for a company that was based in Kansas City, and so I kind of followed the Chiefs back whenever they, you know, back whenever Montana did go there, but they had like Christian Okoye and Barry Ward and all, you know, these players, and Nick Lowry, who was their kicker, who just never missed. I do like Pat Mahomes. He was recruited by SFA. Obviously he made the right choice and didn't go to SFA, but he's East Texas boy. So I can't even remotely consider the Eagles winning.
I just
can't. Like, it's just not gonna happen. Like, if they do, that's great. You know, they've gotten 2 in 6 years or whatever. You know, that's great. But I just, there's no way it would take hell freezing over for me to ever cheer for a team whose fans booed Santa Claus and threw snowballs at him. Like, you know, there's just no way.
I remember when Wentz got drafted to the Eagles, I saw posts everywhere of NDSU fans and Fargo fans being like, I'm glad he's going to a blue collar town like ours. And I must have wrote and tweeted 1,000 times, do not compare Fargo to Philadelphia. If you think Fargo nice is like Philadelphia, you are crazy. These fans are terrible. The people are so mean. And then when Minnesota went there and got blasted by Nick Foles and all of them to, you know, to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the Eagles fans were doing all those terrible things. Everyone was complaining about it. And I just sent out a tweet or Facebook thing with a guy shrugging, said, told you so. They're terrible. They're awful.
Yeah, no, they had a court at the old Veterans Stadium. I don't know if they put it at Lincoln Financial. They had a court and a judge.
They had a court in the stadium.
Yeah, they had a court in the stadium. Like, I mean, how bad are your fans if you have a judge ready to handle them? Like, I mean,
literally the worst.
There's a part
of me that wants the reason I want the Chiefs to win so bad is I do like Mahomes and I hate the Eagles. So there's that. But yeah. I really want Mahomes to be the first quarterback to win the Super Bowl with just a ridiculous contract number. And honestly, when you look at his contract over those 10 years, he actually did the Chiefs a favor.
Yep.
He only goes above $53 million twice. At the highest, it's $59 million, which is in year 7 when they can restructure it. But besides that, it's all in the 40s, which like next year, Dak's going to make like $49 million and Rodgers is making $52 million. So what I love about Mahomes is he basically signed the Brady contract that looks like a lot, but it's not.
Yeah.
So I want him to kind of show the rest of the league that this is actually a quarterback that's worth paying. Yep. And maybe some franchises will learn that Kirk Cousins and Prescott's probably aren't worth taking up 15% of your cap space.
Nope.
So
don't get me wrong. I like Dak Prescott. He's not worth the money they're paying him. Like, I'm just being honest. Like, he's, I think he's a good quarterback. He reminds me, I don't want to say reminds me of Tony Romo because he reminds me of like Danny White. Like, he's good enough to get us to the playoffs, but not good enough to,
yeah,
get to the Super Bowl. I think if Romo, I mean, Romo had opportunities, but I think if Romo had some better defenses, that probably would have been a completely different story.
Right.
But firing Kellen Moore was the dumbest move that they've made.
Boise State.
Sorry, Hammond, but like Kellen Moore, he's gonna watch next year. Watch the Chargers, just watch them go nuts.
Yep,
with him calling the plays. And we have who? Brian? Like, I mean, like
Mike McCarthy?
No, we hired. What's his name?
They brought a guy in.
Yeah, Brian. What's his name? Brian Schotten.
Schottenmeyer.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Welcome to the old school.
Exactly. We're gonna run a gap the whole time with Pollard, but
My last thought on Dak is that I think he's as good a salesman as Jerry Jones.
I agree.
I think he, this isn't a political thing, but he knew Texas and our things wouldn't like that he would kneel. So he didn't kneel. He says all the right things in the post-game press conference. He does everything that Jerry Jones loves. He follows the line.
Yep.
So like he does everything that you would want with the intangibles, and that got him paid.
Yep.
Cause like on the field stuff just isn't the same, but, Rev, why don't we, about 30 minutes in here.
Yep, second beer.
why don't I present you this box again?
Okay.
And what do you think?
What I back, do, I middle, front? Let's do a little Jimmy Eat World and go for the middle.
Oh, dang. What's your genre, if you had one, Rev? Music genre. This isn't the question.
No, I grew up on a whole bunch of different types of music. So I listen to a whole bunch of different things. I listen to, you know, like whenever I work, it might be 90s hip hop, or it might be reggae, or it might be some good rock, or some old Johnny Cash style country. Like, I love Motown. Honestly,
I've heard you sing karaoke.
You have witnessed the epitome of karaoke. That is me. And so I apologize now, but
I enjoyed it, man. South Dakota State fans enjoyed it, right? Yeah. Go big, go blue, go.
Yeah. I said on Twitter earlier, my favorite memory was me going up there and saying the songs for the North Dakota State fans are getting booed, and that one guy yelling, "Suck my
suck my blank," he yells.
Yeah,
that was a good Jack time. Rabbit fans were fun. All right, Rabbit, it's getting serious here, man. Pulled exact in the middle here. You're a happily married man. What's the secret to having a good marriage? There you go. You got a beautiful daughter. You got a beautiful wife. Let the folks know, FCS Fans Nation and our random listeners listening to Two Mats and a Margarita.
I'm trying to figure out if my wife's going to listen to this or not. But no, so first of all, like, you know, Hammond asked me this last year. He's like, are you a reverend? Yeah, I'm a legally ordained minister. But minister doesn't sound as cool, so my friends called me reverend. That's why I have the nickname. But I am a legally ordained minister.
I see. This is why I do the podcast. I did not know that's, I never, and I always do the throttle gift to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a legally ordained minister. I've been a legally ordained minister since 2003. So I guess 20 years now.
Okay.
And my thing is I do weddings for folks who maybe are non-denominational or don't want to, you know, who maybe don't want to get married in a church. They want to get married somewhere. But here's the thing I say to people. I'm like, one, do you live together before you get married? And if they say no, I'm like, live together and come back to me in 2 years. Because when you live together, before you get married, you get through all of your bad habits. And that's the thing that makes or breaks is bad habits. I think secondly, the biggest thing is don't stay angry. You know, if you know, fights happen. Fights are also a sign of passion. No, I'm not saying for you to throw stuff at each other or things like that. That's something else. But you know, if you're not fighting, if you're not like little fights, there's no passion there. But if you do have an argument, don't go to bed angry.
No, not talk worth it.
Yeah, talk it out. Like, that's always the best thing. You know, my wife and I, like, I mean, that's the thing. My wife and I also, you know, I don't ever care what she spends her money on.
Yeah.
Like you know, there's no need for worry like that, you know, just as long as everything is, you know, everything's handled. That's it.
Right. Not everyone's in the same position as everybody else. Right. But like, I think you're kind of hitting on really good advice there when it comes to marriage stuff is make like some of the most unhappy marriages I think I'm witnessing now in my mid-30s. The smallest specific rules and things matter to those people.
Yeah.
Like Alice and I say to each other, how about if we're going to spend over $100, we just bring it up. And that's how we say it. We bring it up. We're not asking. And then we talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. But if she wants to spend $85 on something, I don't give a crap. Heck, I want to care if you spend $120. It's just my personality. But, you know, that's a broad thing, which makes you so much more relaxed.
Yeah.
And you don't stress as much. Like some couples are like, oh, man, if I run the credit card, he or she's going to know that I spent this $20. $20? Come on now. You got to live a little.
Yeah. You know, there are things that are going to stress you out in your relationship, but eliminate as many of the stressors as you can. Have a good, open communication. You know, if you're struggling with anything, be honest. Don't try to hide it because it's going to come out anyway, right? You know, don't lie. I mean, don't cheat unless that's what you're into. I mean, you know, some people have that. Like, there's no shaming here. What you do, what
open,
you do,
but open relationship policy.
But make sure that you have all your stuff aligned. And you know, and most importantly, is like just relax. You know, and just don't go to bed mad. Talk it out. Communication, I think, is the most important thing. And I think that's one of the things we saw with COVID was that people were stuck in the house together who had been stuck in the house for years because they've been going to their jobs and doing all that. And you realize just how much space you take up when there's two other people not leaving your house, right?
Oh, like for sure.
You know, and I think some folks that was the nail. And it was one of those things that probably put into stark relief what was really going on.
Right.
And it's an unfortunate thing, but maybe it was one of the better things to happen for some folks.
Mm-hmm. Alice and I talk about that. We go, Alice and I love each other to death. We're going on year 10 here.
Yeah.
But we say all the time, our community that we've, our community of friends that we have now that are coming over for the Super Bowl party on Sunday, like that is an important factor to our marriage. Yeah. Is like her friends, my friends getting along, couple friends going out, Herb going out with her friend Haley and Anna, and then I'm out at the Baron, which is the background here on YouTube, our local bar in Castleton. That's the one I go to all the time.
Yeah.
I'm out there with Brett and Ross and my buddies. Like that stuff matters too. And some couples are like, it's just me, it's just her, it's all I need till I die. I mean, that's, it's good to say, but I think community of people is really important. I think you got to have a community of friends and things that are bigger beyond just your own house personally. But
my other last thing too is, I don't want to say you got to take criticism, because criticism to me is a bad word, but there's coaching. You know, if you're seeing, you know, if your significant other saying, hey, you know, I'm seeing this, you need to listen with an open mind versus automatically being like, I'm not doing that. Right. And I'm guilty of that. I think listening, just the listening and understanding and communication, that's the biggest thing. And you know, I feel like this is almost like we're on like Love Line at this point. Like, off season show, we'll just open up live and do relationship advice.
I said it to you guys in Frisco. I said, I'm going to do a podcast in the off season for one purpose. So I get to know these humans who I tweet and Facebook and see in Frisco way better. And that's my only goal. So no matter where it goes. And that's why I put in the beginning of the intro, if you watch this on YouTube, the second little thing that comes up, it says 404 not found. It just comes across the screen because we're just going out of nowhere. Yep. No script.
Yep.
It's the way to do it. So for yourself, man, okay, we have to talk a little bit about, you talked about the FCS Fans Nation and like feeling the little bit of the celebrity status. My brother-in-law said it very well, and I hope I don't insult anybody listening to this. We love every single one of you. But he said, you've kind of found for this podcast network a niche that literally nobody else talks about, that a small percentage of sports fans care about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's true. And that's what we do. We care about this. Yeah. We like it. So we felt that we've gone to Frisco. People are like, you guys, the podcast guys? And we're easy to spot with Eastern Eagle, James Madison, NDSU, Rev SFA, all the way down the line, the rainbow road that we have. But for yourself, my man, this South Dakota State thing has taken on a life of its own. You've probably gained South Dakota State followers. When did you start thinking about buying that bunny suit? And when did it come to, like, just tell me the bunny suit story beginning to where it is now, or it sounds like you might be going to SDSU for a game maybe next year.
I'm going to try, but you know, like I want to try. I'm going to see if I can make it, but no. So whenever we had the spring season, SFA didn't have a team. So, you know, Brendan is a good friend of mine. I was a real good friend of mine. I said, you know, I'll support SDSU during the spring season. And I did. And then losing to Sam Houston in the national championship hit close to home because it's something SFA has done for the past 12 years in our rivalry game. So I totally felt it. But with the bunny suit, you know, there's this whole thing kind of started as a joke because we had a guest on the Wax Sun weekly podcast who just started talking trash about South Dakota State. And I was sitting there shaking my head the whole time because I've been high on them all season. And then we got featured in the South Dakota State football video. And I jokingly said to the Jackrabbit Illustrated boys that, hey, have you been featured in a South Dakota State video this year? Cause I have. So I think we're the favorite, the favorite show of South Dakota State fans.
Premium.
And then we were playing in Frisco and I was trying to figure out what I was going to wear in the uniform. Originally Brendan and I was going to wear, I have the purple and white version of the bibs that the South Dakota State guys wear. And I was going to wear that. And I was like, you know what? I should get a bunny suit. Cause why not? And Matt Tolleson said, flat out said that if I wore a bunny suit to the tailgate into the game, he would openly on their show.
Say and I saw that on the live stream. Yeah.
Say that I was South Dakota State's favorite podcaster, which he did when they had Stig on there, which was pretty cool.
He said it to Coach Stig. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the thing with that was that, like, I let the shtick go. Like, it was just shtick, right? It just going for a day. It was fun. Like, no, the bunny, I mean, I wanted to see South Dakota State win, and it's not, I'm not anti North Dakota State. And people think that, I think the thing is North Dakota State's like Alabama at this point. You don't want to see them win. Like, they need to take some time off. It's great when they win because it has been good for the subdivision. It's gotten people to Frisco. It's gotten, you know, cause I think that if we had attendance, no offense to, you know, Eastern Washington fans, no offense to you guys, no offense to, you know, Delaware fans, but if you don't have the any of the Dakota schools in there, the Montana schools in there, you don't have attendance at that game, you know?
Right.
And I think having North Dakota State there year after year helped show that that's a viable place to have a game. And the problem I think now is you hear people like, well, we should go bigger, or let's move to like Chicago, or let's move to Minneapolis. Like, if you get, again, if you get a game that is Incarnate Word versus, I don't know, Furman, you're going to have 10,000 people in the stadium. Right. So
yeah, it's going to be low.
You got to keep the perspective on this, but anyway, so you know, wearing the bunny suit was a lot of fun that day. The funny thing is the antics that I did, everybody's like, oh, that guy had to be drunk. No, I was sober. I had the clear TSA that night. I had two beers the entire day.
Because you flew out that night. You were out.
I no joke. I changed in the parking lot and left the bunny suit on Ben's car.
So Ben has the bunny suit right now?
I don't know what happened to it. He said that someone took it. I think one of the guys has the head, which, to be fair, that thing fell apart. Like the mesh over the eye holes came out, and so oh, even like that looked even creepier, especially when I was on ESPN, like, because there's no mesh to make it look black, you can just see my eyes through it. Like, that was beyond, like, it looked like a really bad luchador mask for wrestling. Like, it was so, you know, it was fun, and you know, it was great to meet all the South Dakota State fans. Honestly, like, they, to me, first of all, are, you know, you guys are so freaking tall that it pisses me off. You clock tower looking jerks.
That's South Dakota State, man. Yeah, NDSU fans are, those guys, they must just drink milk and they're do like whatever leg workouts when you're young to get tall. I don't know how they pulled this stuff.
They are the sequoia trees of the plains, basically. Like, they like, like, I'm not a short guy. I'm 6 feet. Six feet six. You know, like, I'm not short, and I'm standing next to Brendan and Matt and Dallas and Chad, and I'm like, just, you know, this looking up at him. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it's probably a good thing Chris Hammond didn't come, because Hammond would have been to like their waist. So, Southwest did him a favor, but no, like, you know, it was fun. Wearing the bunny suit was fun, you know, and also too, in the back of my mind, I was like, if I wear this thing, we're gonna get on TV. And it would be 100%. Cool to get us all on TV. And then when I saw them set up the camera and point at me, I was like, all right, let's do this. But, you know, because, I mean, how great would it be to say, oh, man, there's the FCS Fan Station guys. They're on, you know, they're on TV. And so they focused on me clapping like crazy. But, you know, it was all in good fun. It was a lot of fun to do. Glad I didn't. I don't think I'd do it again, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I had crazy stuff happen when I lost the contact and then found it from that mask.
That's right. You were right next to me. You're like, I lost the contact. I'm like,
and then I found it on the concrete, rinsed it off of water and put it back in. Like, I don't know. It was, like I said, it was fun, but I wouldn't do it again.
Only in Frisco. Hey, we might have to go for the VIP section next year. Not like a box, but
a box would be fun though.
My buddy Brad said he bought VIP, and his ticket when he bought it in August was like $110. And I was like, what? That's like nothing compared to like what paid.
Where was the VIP though? Like, what?
They were right above us.
They're up. They're up in the, okay.
Unlimited food and beer till the third quarter, and I was like, excuse me.
I mean,
for $110,
for $110, I will. Kyler and I could easily wreck their idea of having doing that.
I mean, beers were $10 a pop. I mean,
hell yeah, no,
just absolutely insane.
It would be fun 1 year though to get a box and just hang our banners from the rail up there in the box, but
that would be cool.
But at the same time, when you're up in the box, man, you're so detached from the game. And Kyler came to the Battle of Piney Woods at NRG Stadium, and you know, we were sitting with my friends in the box, and then we went to the SFA alumni box. Sorry, and you know, it was fun. But when you're up there, where there's a bar, there's people just talking, you're not watching the game. You're mingling and you're doing other things, and so it kind of takes you out of the action. To be honest, I like being where we are. I think it's a lot of fun to be right down there. You know,
I agree. I like to be with the fans in the action.
My only thing would be if we could do it next year, we should get behind the goalposts.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Cause once that net goes up, just throw a banner up.
Yep. And have it right there every single time.
Right there. Yeah.
It's the way to do it. Rev, what's a hobby or a thing you like that nobody would know about you, besides the fact that it looks like you can play the ukulele or the guitar somewhat.
I can play the ukulele. I can play the guitar. I can play the mandolin, and I have a banjo, but I'm not as good on a banjo. That music has always been a big part of my life. My grandfather was a musician. He was in the army too, but he played music with my great uncle.
Crazy. My grandpa traveled Asia with a band and played violin.
Yeah.
My
grandfather played guitar. My great uncle played the fiddle. And so when I was in grade school, the first class instrument I took was actually violin.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. My sister learned to play piano. And then I learned to, she took lessons, and my mom couldn't afford lessons for both of us. So I learned how to play by ear. And then my mom realized I was actually good at piano and got me lessons. but then I forgot all that. Other than that, like my hobbies, I'm a big reader. I read all the time. People probably think my hobbies are putting on costumes and getting drunk, which I guess living down here is part of that.
Well, you're about to go to Mardi Gras, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I mean, so like I said, one of my loves has been geography. That's why I majored in it in college. So, I mean, like that and music, being able to just, like you talk about, like the folks in North Dakota, like being able to get outside your where you live, outside of your box that you're in, and getting to enjoy the world, whether it's actually going or maybe watching a video on someplace you've never been or reading a book about something you've never been. That's my thing. Is to, you know, like I'd rather spend my money on experiences, you know.
You think that developed from traveling so much as a kid, or is it just...
Yeah, probably so. And then my mom was a travel agent, and at the time travel agents were actually respected, and so while very much they got things like free airfare and free hotel or really cheap hotels, like she could stay at a Marriott for $25 a night. And so, you know, we went around as a kid. We did Key West because my mom lived in Key West whenever she was a kid.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And then as a young adult, I'll tell you a story sometime about Key West and her. I don't want to put that one out publicly, but in the event she listens to this, but she had a very, very famous neighbor whenever he first started out as a musician in Key West. I bet put two and two together real quick.
Okay.
That's probably it. It's, I've always had a love for travel, and one of my favorite books was Mark Twain's Following the Equator, which is him basically going around the world and basically poking fun at the situation of the world, poking fun at like imperialism and colonialism and all that. But that was one of the books that I read as a kid, and I still read. That and music, and of course music too is almost a form of geography, because you get music from all around the world, different types of things. And I just think that sometimes people keep a very closed mind to both those things, and they shouldn't.
I wish I could internally want to read more. I honestly probably can name 6-7 books I've read my whole life all the way through, but I know George Martin, he's got that quote about like how a reader lives 1,000 lives and someone who doesn't read lives one. And it's just such a powerful quote in terms of getting into the books and seeing the things you can read. And are you a reader of books on paper, or now you on the screens with like a Kindle, the iPad?
Because I travel so much, I have like the Kindle app on my phone. But like, I mean, it's funny though, because the books I have on my phone are basically the electronic copies of the paper books I have. Right. I try to get both, because I like the look of a really good stacked bookshelf with all different varying types of books. Like, I think some people are like, oh, I read this, I read that. I'm like, that's great. You know, read your sci-fi, or you read your bodice ripper, or you read your fantasy, or you read your historical, just read, enjoy it. Like that's the thing. Read books that people tell you not to read. Just enjoy it. Enjoy it. Because if somebody's telling you not to read something, there's probably a reason why. And you probably should check it out and decide for yourself. And so, that's really it. Like, just there's so much you can learn from a book.
Get out of your echo chamber. What? That's crazy.
Crazy.
What if that opinion goes slightly against what I constantly think about and listen to all the time? I might be upset though. What would happen then?
I know. I would have to think for myself. It's terrible.
Be crazy.
Yeah, like, and I'm not poking fun, like, specifically at a side when it comes to politics, though. I think there's that, but like, I'm just saying, like, there's no reason to ban a book.
No,
there's no reason to ban a book. And some of the books you read, like, To Kill a Mockingbird is banned in some places. And I'm like, To Kill a Mockingbird is one of the best books ever written. Why are you banning it?
Can't we? You think we'd be far enough to just be like, okay, people are smart enough to not read something or cancel something naturally, honestly, in terms of like, people will not read it because of blank, or they will not have it because of blank. You're going to have outlier psychos who are going to take things too far.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not a big censorship fan personally.
There's a book. It's called, what is it called? The Things They Carried. That's about Vietnam. It was written by a guy who was in Vietnam and it got banned because it's too violent. I'm like, it's about Vietnam. It's about the war. What do you expect?
You can't learn to avoid the mistakes of the past without hearing about how tragic something actually could be.
Exactly.
You know, and you got to show respect to everybody, to cultures, to differences, to all those things. But you also have to, you can't just steer into some dream world that doesn't exist.
Exactly. It's
interesting how it goes.
Yep.
Rev, for the sake of time, I do have to ask you at least one more question.
Okay.
The yourself, you clearly, everyone says this, they go, I've heard this a million times. Rev has worked so hard to get where he's at physically and just where he is as a human. And he's not afraid to show it. And that's why in Frisco, he takes the shirt off and he whips it around and he belly dances in the stands. And we're hell so freaking proud of you for that. Tell me a little bit about that journey, man. You've talked about weight loss and just fighting that and looking good and healthy.
Yeah. The biggest mistake I made was when I stopped playing sports and became more an office person. And I kept the diet of someone who still played sports and worked out every day without keeping it. And my weight swelled up to insane proportions. Like, I was up to 440 pounds at one point in my life. And, you know, and I had some other stuff wrong. And so I just said, okay, let's just get surgery and get it done. But here's the thing, even whenever I was at 440, I'd still go shirtless. Like, I never had shame over that. And I feel like people body shame folks. And I'm like, why? Like, nobody has a perfect body. And if you have a perfect body, chances are you probably had something done to help you get there. Not saying it's what it is, you know, then there's nothing wrong with that. But there's no reason to body shame someone. Everybody, people have imperfections. Imperfections are what make you you. And so, you know, yeah, so I did it, you know, I dropped down 160 pounds and it's good. But at the same time, like, I just feel like people take things like that, just again, too seriously, just like they take football.
Right.
Right. Like, don't, we're all who we are. You know, I have a lazy eye on my left eye because I had a blastoma in my eye. Like, there's imperfection everybody has. People have messed up teeth. People maybe have a hole in their chin. Like, there's nothing wrong with any of that. You should enjoy who you are. And if you want to be better, if you want to better yourself, you want to get healthy, you want to do those things, absolutely do them. You just have to not be afraid of doing them.
Man, you know, powerful. Yeah. What was the eye you mentioned?
Yeah. So like, I had a blastoma in this eye. And so my vision's terrible. It's really funny. My vision is so bad without contacts that I'm almost legally blind. My friend, his wife is an optometrist, and I sent her my glasses as a joke one time because they are like
that thick.
Yeah. But so, you know, so some, I mean, people pointed out to you, I've had somebody try to talk trash on me, FCS fans, about it. And I'm like, and which point? So it's just one of those things. Like, I could probably have surgery to fix it, but why at this point?
Yeah.
40 years old, who gives a shit? No, but like, I mean, there's other things to worry about in this life.
You are a true motivation to worry about the things that truly matter. Yeah. Rev, that couldn't...
Don't worry about things. That's the other thing, is keep things in mind. But if you worry about something happening and then it does happen, you've technically gone through it twice.
Hmm. Damn. Wow.
I'm not saying just to be happy-go-lucky.
No wonder they call you the Rev. You got to be preaching, man. Holy moly.
Again, I'm not saying to go through life and you're happy-go-lucky, you don't plan and stuff like that, but you don't need to spend the whole day like something, you know, just realize that, hey, this could happen, and then, you know, prepare yourself for it. And then if it does happen, then, you know, hopefully 9 times out of 10, the worst isn't going to happen.
Yeah. Hopefully with maturity in life, people can gain that perspective. Harder when you're young.
Yeah.
But sad when you're old and you still can't get even 50% of your good mentality there. I mean,
yeah,
that's the way to live life. Yep. Rev, I've capped the second one here, but I always have time for one final question poll.
All right, let's do it.
What do you think? Front, middle, back?
I guess I started with the front, went to the middle. Let's just hit the back. Let's hit all corners of the box.
All three of them. Ooh, this is good, Dan. What are your favorite apps? And I think back in the day that would be like eating, but this is
mozzarella sticks.
No, yeah, mozzarella sticks. And let's go to Applebee's and get some apps. Favorite app, my man. What draws you on your phone?
When you're talking about music, I always I saw a thing one time that said ska music is like when a 12-year-old kid gets mozzarella sticks, grab, and that's basically what musical equivalent is. So, no, my apps. I think the apps I use the most. I use Twitter, obviously, the most. After that, I mean, I have like the social media stuff. Honestly, I think the one I use more than anything else is actually music, either Spotify or Apple Music. I probably use those more than any other one. Kindle app, the night sky app, so I can, you know, go out where it's dark and try to look at stars. Unfortunately, you know, I get my work mail on my phone, so that gets used quite a bit, and I hate that. But yeah, like, I mean, I guess all around the weather app, I use weather apps like crazy.
Oh yeah. You're going to need it. You deal with hurricanes down there.
Yeah. I probably, honestly, when I wake up in the morning, honestly, first thing I do is probably check my mail to see if there's anything that I need to take care of after I drop my daughter off at school and go make the commute to my office at the house. And after that, second thing I check, it's probably the weather app, to be honest with you. You know, like I don't know. Some people have are big games on their phone. I'm not big on games on my phone. The only game I have on my phone is Retro Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Retro Bowl. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
A little throwback.
I have that. You know, but like I never got into playing. Like, I know you play Clash
of Clans and Clash Royale.
Yeah. So I know you play those and religiously. I know the Taco King plays it. And so I just, for some reason, I never got into games on my phone. Even though I knew I had the ability to do it, I never got into it. I don't know why. I mean, I like games. I mean, I got a, you know, damn Xbox in there. So, but you know, probably social media, mail, weather, music, and Kindle are probably my top ones that I use.
Reading, music, all the essentials, right?
All the essentials. And I guess a lot of YouTube, because you got to watch all these shows. And you know, it's funny. I watch the podcast I follow, I don't do the streaming on like Spotify or anything. I actually watch the YouTube ones more, and I have no idea why. Maybe it's just I enjoy the face-to-face piece of it.
Yeah,
you know. But like I think I've only listened to the big show, as we call it, the big boy show, once on Apple Music, and it's on my way to the but I was on my way to the airport, and so I was listening to it there. I don't think I've ever listened to like Hack City on any other. I've only watched YouTube. They may not be anything else. I can't remember. I watch YouTube. Sorry, I keep hitting my wind thing. I don't think I've listened to like anybody's on any sort of other streaming stuff. Maybe except for FCS Radio, the Kevin's
one. Oh yeah, Kevin Show.
Yeah, but that that's probably the exception.
For sure. Yeah. I'm with you, man. YouTube's the way to go. But
yeah.
The place to find the Rev is at the Rev SFA on Twitter, right? And yep. It has been glorious to speak with you, Dustin. I'm excited to do another episode like this with you in the future already to learn even more, buddy. But last thing we'll say before we cheers, give me the Super Bowl prediction, man. It'll be on Sunday. What do you got? Winner and a score.
I'm going to say Chiefs 38, Eagles 35.
All right. I will not be disappointed if that is the result. So I'll have to see how it plays out. Well, to your wife, to your daughter, to your beautiful family down there in the beach, I hope everything goes good. And cheers, buddy. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.